Welcome back, friends. Psalm 78 is a long one, and it tells a story much longer. Asaph is our storyteller, and he dives way back into Israel's history to tell a story to his generation and to be passed on to all generations. It's a wisdom psalm written to restore a heritage and leave a legacy. The opening is beautifully poetic, so let's start there. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. Notice the focus on ancestors and descendants. Have you ever considered that you represent the link between those two groups? In the great chain of generations that spans the ages, you connect the past to the future. Will you be faithful to pass along the heritage given to you? In the great chain of generations that spans the ages, you connect the past to the future. Will you be faithful to pass along the heritage given to you? Now for Asaph, that heritage was broken long before he got here, yet God called him to begin anew. Maybe you can relate. Asaph is determined to tell the next generation the deeds of the Lord, his power, his wonders. He begins in verse 5. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel. Here, statutes also means testimony. God gave a testimony, a witness to testify to his people. And law is again Torah. Much more than just laws, Torah is God's word, God's way for his people, captured and passed along in his scriptures, that we may walk in it. That's where it starts. And back in verse 5, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Now that verse spans generations, and it means a whole lot to me right now. I have a grandson, and with my mom recently passed, I stand now at the lead of my family's story. I set the direction forward to tell the stories of those gone by and guide the future of those to come. Asaph writes this psalm to impact generations. For the Jews, the most beloved passage in Scripture is the Shema in Deuteronomy 6, and it includes the command to faithfully pass God's word along to our children and to their children. Tell your story, your God story. Verse 7 reminds us why. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. Do you ever think about how your life today will impact daily life two generations from now? Your grandkids. Whether or not you have kids, you still have impact. As I was looking at my yard this week at a little avocado tree I planted, God challenged me with this thought. Plant the tree you want your grandchildren to climb in. Of course, the meaning goes well beyond trees. And if you feel like you missed that opportunity, remember the old saying, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The second best time is today. And if your parents didn't give you that legacy, then listen well to Asaph. He's in the same boat. And he wants his kids to trust God so that, in verse 8, they would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. What follows is a short review of a long history of rebellion against God. And this is the story of God's people. This is Israel. In the Bible, the Israelites are often not the good people, but they are God's chosen people. Some were faithful to it, but many were faithless. Asaph's challenge to us is to decide which one we will be and what heritage we will pass on. The history begins in verse 9 with Ephraim fully armed, but turning back on the day of battle. Ephraim had been a leading tribe in Israel early on. Joshua was an Ephraimite, and the first tabernacle was at Shiloh in Ephraim. The turning back of verse 9 may or may not have been a specific battle, but it likely represents the cowardice of all Israel throughout all the battles God called them to. In verse 10, they did not keep God's covenant and refused to live by his law. Make no mistake, the life of following God is a life of obedience and battle, a life that requires courage. But many turn back. Where does that turning back begin? In verse 11, they forgot. Trace back a life that is strayed from God, and you will find a forgetting. They forgot what he had done, the wonders he had shown them. So Asaph takes us all the way back to Egypt to remember what they forgot. They forgot his miracles. He divided the sea. He guided them with the cloud by day and fire by night. Imagine what it was like to look out the door of your desert tent and see a massive pillar of fire stretching to the sky at the heart of your camp, and to know that pillar was God's presence guiding you. Imagine how convinced you would be that you would never forget it. There are things in your life that you should never forget, that your grandkids should never forget. Will you be faithful to remind them? Verse 15 moves forward to that phenomenal story of water from the rock and gives us a fascinating insight to identify that rock if we ever saw it. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them water as abundant as the seas. Now, I mentioned seeing that rock because one of the most stunning pictures I've ever seen is of a massive rock monolith that stands 60 feet tall, rising high above the desert valley in Saudi Arabia. It is quite near a mountain that many believe to be the real Mount Sinai, and the great rock is split right down the middle and appears to have been scored by torrents of water. Now, being the skeptic I am, I would hardly believe that picture myself if it weren't taken by some dear friends of mine who were actually there and talked to locals who hold it to be the very rock that Moses struck. Shout out to my friends Jim and Penny Caldwell from Split Rock Research. Love you guys. Now, I mention that rock in Saudi Arabia not because it represents irrefutable evidence that that rock is the same rock God split. Yes, there's evidence. But so many centuries later, anything can be refuted. I mention it for all of us who don't need that evidence to believe. Yet the picture awakens my faith because it reminds me of the reality of what I already believe. I know God worked those miracles. I've seen miracles in my own life, but we all have the ability to forget. In fact, that very first generation forgot. They rebelled in the wilderness and put God to the test. Asaph recounts the story of the manna and quail and reminds us that God was angry because the people refused to trust him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Asaph recalls with awe in verse 25 that human beings ate the bread of angels, yet even that was not enough. Verse 32 tells us that in spite of all this, they kept on sinning. I wonder how future generations will complete that sentence in our story. In spite of all his wonders, ... Asaph fast forwards generations through Israel's story. In 34, whenever God slew them, they would seek him. In 35, they remembered who God is. That's the key. Remember. But it didn't last. Soon their seeking God turned to flattering God. Rather than trusting him, they lied to him, chasing God's blessing, not God himself. Like a cheating spouse occasionally returning for the stability that marriage promised, they were never loyal, never faithful to his covenant. Yet he was merciful. He forgave. God remembered. They forgot. Israel's rescue from Egypt is recounted. Once again, they forgot. Let us not forget our own salvation story. Asaph jumps forward through Judges and Samuel. So many generations strayed, so God gave them over. But in verse 65, the Lord awakes. He chooses Judah and Mount Zion. He chooses David to shepherd his people. And quite abruptly, the psalm ends. Asaph wrote an unfinished story. And isn't that just like our story? So what do you think? What stories will our great-grandkids tell about us? That depends a great deal on the stories of God we pass on to them.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.